May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? 585.
Thank you. As we together from the Word of God, Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, reading together from chapter 13. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, reading together from chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us and help us to call upon him at the throne of grace. O Lord, once more we come before thee, calling upon thy great and thy holy name, knowing one truth, one blessing, one mercy, that thou wilt hear our prayers and our petitions through the name and person of thy dearly beloved Son, pleading only his merits, his person, what he came to do for sinners, and now seated at the right hand of the Father to personate our case and need at the throne of grace. And Lord, this is our blessing, our acceptance unto God the Father through thy dearly beloved Son. And O Lord, we come before thee again, seeking, Lord, that thou wilt come and dwell in the midst of us according to thy promise, the twos and the threes that gather together in my name. There am I in the midst, O Lord. How needful art thou, Lord, to be present with us, or to bless us, Lord. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Draw our hearts and affections to thee, and bless thy word to us through thy Spirit, that it may be a word in season, a good word, a profitable word, opening our hearts to hear and to receive thy word. O Lord, thou art needful to us, and we do pray, Lord, that we may each be blessed in our souls this evening hour, appearing unto each one of us, whatever our case, whatever our need, what a mercy, Lord, it is to be poor and needy and beggars at thy feet, pleading a crumb of mercy from thy hand, O Lord. And O Lord, help us to draw near. Help us to come, dear Lord, as thou woman that came with the issue of blood. Now she came, Lord, when she was left and with nothing. She'd spent all that she had upon the physicians, left with nothing. Oh, but she wasn't left with anything, dear friends. Oh, the mercy. She came to Jesus and said within her heart, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be healed. Lord, help us to touch the hem of thy garment by faith this evening hour. Help us to come to thee, Lord. Show thy mercy to us and bring us, Lord, to see how suited thou art to the case of the poor, the needy, the out of the way, the sinner, the far gone sinner, the lost sheep, or the sheep, Lord, turned aside. O Lord, we come before thee. May we but touch the hem of thy garment, that we might be whole. Oh, heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls, to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. Lord, let thy mercy come. Thou didst show mercy, Lord. Thou didst come here upon this earth, pity, compassion, mercy. But we think of that leper that came to thee, Lord, full of leprosy. And, O Lord, the plea, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh, are there any poor, guilty, ruined sinners here, feeling the awfulness, evil of their own hearts by nature? Lord, thou didst not send that one away. And as he was full of leprosy, so we come full of sin. Sin that is polluting to the soul. I will. And he touched him, and he was clean. Lord, help us to draw near. May we be blessed, Lord, with that healing flood of thy precious blood, washing us clean, cleansing us from top to toe, and that we might be those truly blessed with the pardon, forgiveness of all our sins. So, Lord, do come, draw near to each and every one of us. And we do pray, Lord, that our time spent together, may it be in union and fellowship, may it be that each of our hearts may be drawn to thee in faith and love. Help us, Lord, to plead thy promises. Help us, Lord, to plead that precious blood which did for sin atone. Help us to plead, Lord, that thou art the one thing needful to us. Send none empty away, Lord. And Lord, as we journey on, oh, be that one constant companion and friend unto us, to go before us in the way, Lord, to conduct us in thy love and fear, to help us, Lord, to walk before thee and to serve thee all our days, to keep thy word and thy sayings in our hearts, and to, Lord, appear for us, to reveal and manifest thyself in thy love and mercy to sinners. Draw our hearts time and again, Lord, to the cross at Calvary, that we might again and again see and behold our great salvation, that we may be encouraged in our way and path to go forth in thy name. And Lord, we are journeying, Lord. And O Lord, we do not know what a day may bring forth. We do not know the number of days that thou wilt give to us upon this earth. Many of us have seen many days, some but few. But, O Lord, help us to live by faith upon thee each and every day, to serve thee, Lord, and to know, Lord, a little of that known and felt union and fellowship with thee, Lord, even through our gatherings together, through the ministry and the preaching of the word, through our taking up of the scriptures, Lord, and through thy Spirit to lead us into all truth, to reveal thyself to us. And then as we journey on by prayer and supplication, Lord, living at the throne of grace, thanking thee, Lord, that it is open for the poor, for the needy, for the destitute, the helpless, the weak, the base, the fools, those that are nothing. Lord, we thank thee that the throne of grace is opened unto such, and help us to venture upon thee all and everything. So, Lord, may we know that great branch of worship, even calling upon thy great and thy holy name. For men ought always to pray and not to faint. May these blessings be ours, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, for, Lord, those near and dear to us and connected with us, Lord, in family relationships, those our children and our children's children. O Lord, we prayerfully commit them into thine ever merciful hands, that thy mercy may come upon them, that thou wilt reveal thyself to them, Lord, in thy rich grace, Lord, that they may be brought, Lord Jesus, to feel their need of thee and of a Saviour, teaching them the corruptions of their own hearts by nature, but knowing, Lord, that thou didst come into this world to seek and to save lost sinners, undone sinners, vile sinners, wretched sinners. And Lord, this is our mercy. Oh, do, Lord, we pray thee, appoint that divine time that thou wilt appear to them, Lord, and show them, Lord, thy mercy that flows through thy precious cross, Lord, and that they might know their pardon through thy blood. The work of grace is thine, Lord. It came to sinners. And oh, this is our mercy, Lord. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Sublime words, Lord. But oh, to be one of that number, to be received of Jesus. This man receiveth sinners. Lord, undertake, we pray, we prayerfully commit them to thee. And Lord, thou knowest, Lord, as we preach the gospel, many, Lord, in the pews of thy house, seen many days upon the earth, now, Lord, on the verge of eternity, and Lord, they cannot say anything, Lord, that thou hast done for them. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come, quicken them by thy grace, that they may be able, Lord, to speak something in thy name, something that thou hast done for them, ere they leave this earthly scene. Thou knowest how that we pray over them, Lord, and commit them into thy hands, that thou wilt work in them to will and to do of thy good pleasure, that they might know that glorious change from death unto life, darkness unto light, Satan unto God. Do come, Lord, in thy rich mercy. And so, Lord, we pray for these things. And we pray, Lord, for each and every one unable to come and gather with us this evening hour. Thou knowest where they are, Lord, and thou knowest all things concerning them, and we prayerfully commit them into thy hands. Do, Lord, appear for them, be with them where they are. Lord, lift up their hearts to thee, prayer, praise, and worship. And we pray, Lord, for this nation of ours. Oh, the solemn truth, Lord, those things that have come in and upon us as a nation, Lord, that many years ago walked in truth and righteousness, held thy word, Lord, as the manner and the conduct of their lives. And there was a looking up to thee, Lord, for all things. But now, Lord, turn their back upon thee, despise thee, despise thy word, and thy Sabbath, Lord, desecrated, thy name, pure and holy name, blasphemed and mocked. Oh, the solemn things, Lord, that are coming to the land, wickedness, Lord, on every hand, men, women, oh, growing more evil and wicked, and in government, oh, the solemn truth, that they that rule over us are those indeed that have brought so much evil in the land and led and drawn hearts to accept those things that are an abomination unto thee. O Lord, come in thy mercy, come amongst us, Lord. Raise up faithful men and faithful women to govern and to rule. Lord, we know that nothing is too hard for thee, Lord. We do pray that thou wilt come, Lord, that this nation again may be a nation, Lord, of righteousness, of truth. Oh, do appear, Lord. Change hearts, Lord. Change the awful will of man, Lord, that it may be that their hearts may be turned to thee, Lord, and that it may be that righteousness shall again exalt this nation. Lord, be with us again. We look to thee. Lord, we need help. The pulpit needs help. The pews need help. And we come with the cry of the Syrophoenician woman. She came and worshipped thee, saying, Lord, help me. Help us, Lord. Help each one of us, Lord. We've all come with differing needs, Lord. Differing conditions, Lord. But help us, Lord. Draw near to us, Lord. And may it be that this evening hour, that thy word may be suited to each case and need. Help thy servant to speak, Lord. Help him to open up the scriptures of truth. Lord, use that word. Open the hearts of each one. Let sower and reaper rejoice together. We ask these mercies in and through the name and person, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. 762.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, reading together from verses 12, 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12, 13 and 14. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Paul, concluding his letter to the Hebrew Christians, who were indeed persecuted, very much tried. They were those indeed who did suffer reproach, but they were those indeed who, it is believed, were ready almost to give up, to apostatize, as it were. They were in so much trouble because they heard and received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. They had taken up their cross to follow him. Jesus had been revealed to them to be their Saviour and their Redeemer. And they followed him. But there were those of their brethren, and in particular, who tried them and persecuted them, troubled them on every side. And Paul opened up so many precious truths to them concerning those things that were in types and shadows, the Old Testament dispensation, and how that all the offerings, the sacrifices, the word of the prophets, dear friends, they were a shadow of better things to come. And Paul brings them into the understanding of those better things. And it begins with Jesus in the first chapter, and opens up the precious truth concerning his nature, our nature, then the sacrifices, then the priesthood, then the covenants, and then, dear friends, the blessing and the truth, the fulfillment of Christ being that one, the Messiah, the sent one, who should come and save his people from their sins. And he encourages them, he warns them, but in this last, in this concluding chapter, exhorts them to follow Christ, to follow him who had done so much for them, in changing them, renewing them, showing them the way of peace and mercy and goodness. These that were persecuted and tried, it may be strange to say the truth, but they were the happiest souls upon the earth. Dear friends, if this wonderful epistle had been opened up to my soul, and the Lord applied it to me, I know this, that I should be the happiest man upon the earth. Jesus came to do so much for them, but he came to do for all of his people. And I pray again that we all may have an interest in this word of our text, that the Lord would apply it to us, that we might be brought to that place, that it may belong to us. Very solemn it is, dear friends, if we are not found inside of the words of our text. That is why I pray, that is why you've been exhorted to hear those that have the rule over you, the ministers of the gospel, and those raised up in the churches, the deacons also, the elders, we must not forget them, dear friends, the teachers whom the Lord has raised up and established. Obey them that have the rule over you. Listen to them, dear friends. See their faith and order. Hear their conversation. See how they lead and direct. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Wherefore Jesus also. Jesus came, dear friends, assumed our nature. What condescension here is shown to us. It behoved him, dear friends. In Hebrews 2, verse 17, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. He left his ancient glory, the glory that he had with his heavenly Father, he left his ancient glory to come down to this sin-cursed earth, to assume our nature. For sinful dust and ashes, for corrupt men and women, for wicked, sinful, evil men and women, he condescended to come down, and it behoved him. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Why, dear friends, it was a life of sufferance, wasn't it? It came in our nature, except sin. Yes, there was limitations, except sin. How can a corrupt nature heal and make whole a corrupt nature? Cannot. That holy thing that shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. the eternal Son of God came down, assumed our nature, taken into union with his divine nature. Do not let us try and separate them, dear friends. Without sin. Why? It behoved him. He loved his people, dear friends. His delights were with the sons of men, even in eternity. He knew everyone for whom he would come down here to save and redeem everyone. And this truth, another limitation, sickness and disease could not come upon him. That is the root of sin, isn't it? It could not touch him, no. Oh, but dear friends, he suffered. He was hated of men. He was scorned. He was looked upon as a sinner, a transgressor, a devil. So many times they tried to take him by his words. He endured temptation 40 days and 40 nights. The pure and holy Son of God. It was a real temptation. In our nature, it behoved him. Why, dear friends? Not only did he suffer, and amongst his brethren they disowned him, they believed him to be an impostor. They hated him without a cause. They would not have this man to reign over him. And then, dear friends, he knew what it was to suffer pain. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He knew what it was to suffer pain. And what it cost him to sanctify the people. Wherefore Jesus also, that he would be found in the room and place of the sinner, suffer those wounds and bruises and stripes, those nails that pierced his body, the crown of thorns that was laid upon his head, the agonizing, lingering death upon the cross. You know, dear friends, if we suffer any pain or injury, we can find some medication for it. We might be able to put ourselves in such a position to bring a little bit of comfort to ourselves. Jesus couldn't move, dear friends. His body weight was hung upon those nails. He hung and he suffered there. But there is something more to this. What he suffered and what he endured, no tongue can tell. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. That is the bullock that was taken for the sin offerings by Aaron and his sons, not only for their own sins, but for also the sins of all the people. And it was slain, and the blood was marked. Upon the altar, the horns of the altar. But the skin and the flesh was burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. That carcass and the skin was burned without the camp, dear friends. And see that in Jesus. You know, our sins, our crimes, all the evil of our hearts, all the waywardness, all the thoughts, the hatreds, the malice that was in our lives, the wickedness, the waywardness. Jesus had to suffer, dear friends, to put it all away from us. But this was the truth, that we were deserving by the just justice of God for sin, a never-ending burning in hell and damnation. That is what our sins were deserving. The carcass and the skin was burned without the camp, and Jesus bore, as it were, the fiery wrath of God that was due to us and for our sins. Jesus, to appease stern justice, endured that in his own body upon the tree. That is what he endured. The fiery wrath of God that was due to you and I. That hell and damnation, that was our just desert. And dear friends, I was speaking just recently to a deacon's wife, and we somehow come into this conversation of that was deserving to us, Christ had to bear and suffer. His heavenly Father had to see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The perfection of his offering to put away that was deserving to us. And I think of that rich man and Lazarus. And Jesus spake of that rich man. Yes, he died and was buried. But he lift up his head in hell. That's what Jesus said. And Abraham had borne up poor Lazarus. And he asked his father Abraham this truth. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The flame that was deserving to us. And dear friends, he wouldn't get a drop of water. There's no comfort in hell. That is what we were deserving. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. This sanctifying the people with his own blood leads me to this truth. We know that there is a sanctifying and a separation through grace from the world and so forth. But because here it is spoken in respect of with his own blood, it leads me to this one thought. This mercy. Yes, we're sinners. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? No one. Until God reveal it to them. May God reveal it to everyone here. Because the heart by nature is deceitful and desperately wicked. It holds all manner of evil, all manner of lust, all manner of crime, all vanity. Such is our nature. It is a nature fitting only to send us to that deserved hell. But what a mercy if the Lord will come and show to us this awful nature that we have, that is born in us by our birth into this world, to open it up to us, that we should be brought to look within. Jesus spake with power to that Samaritan woman, opened up her heart to her. She was brought to look within. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. The life came up into her poor soul, dear friends. Her sins and iniquities brought to bear upon her conscience. She was rendered guilty, guilty. Burdened with sin. This is grace, dear friends. Grace that will reveal and manifest the awful sin that is in our nature. And, dear friends, it is a great mercy to be brought there, conscious of our sins, rendered guilty before God, bowed down, burdened, sorrowing, mourning over sin. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is the teacher. All my children shall be taught of the Lord. What a mercy it is to be taught our sinnership. But rendered guilty. I know when the Lord brought my sins into my conscience, I was laid low, guilty, brought to nothing, brought to cry to the Lord. And what is it, dear friends, that the poor guilty sinner prays for and seeks after? It is that they should be separated from their sins. Those sins that would send them into a never-ending eternity of hell and damnation. Sanctify the people. And what a mercy it is when the Lord will appear. Because, dear friends, if the Holy Spirit will teach us and show to us our sin, He will not leave off that work that He has begun. That poor sinner, dear friends, will be brought to plead, and to plead Christ alone for mercy, that precious blood, that blood that can cleanse, that blood that can heal, that blood that can sanctify, that blood that can remove all our guilt. That is what a poor sinner wants. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. And what a mercy it is, dear friends, God-given faith will be blessed to the soul to venture all upon Christ. Because there, dear friends, is the mercy. Mercy through blood I make my plea. God, be merciful to me. And He will not leave any poor sinner, dear friends, that plead that precious blood to go on agonizing. The time is fixed, the time is appointed, when each and every one will be able to rejoice in his salvation. We may be brought into see a little of the greatness of Christ's love to us, dear friends. When he suffered without the gate, they burned the skins of the beasts and so forth. Jesus experienced that burning that was due to us. Dear friends, I wish that I could come more and more into that love that he showed for my poor soul. That burning hell that was deserving to me. He suffered the likeness of that intensity of that hell. He suffered the likeness of it. Oh, his sufferings, dear friends. And he was in our nature, except sin. He suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him. You know, he loved us so much, didn't he? Oh, he loved his people, dear friends. Another word says, he will not fail, nor be discouraged. No, he knew what he was going forth, dear friends, to Jerusalem. He knew what was before him. But dear friends, the love that he had for his dear people, that love was engraven upon his breast. Engraven, dear friends, in love, every name whom we would suffer, bleed and die for. When we have been brought to know the blessedness of our peace and pardon and all guilt removed, that precious blood that washed away made us clean and whole and pure as he is. Oh, it must be. It was a perfect offering and a perfect sacrifice. This is my dearly beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. You know, this camp, it may be seen as Jerusalem. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The carcass of the beast always had to be suffered without, had to be burned without the camp. Do you know what, dear friends? This camp that is here spoken of, and particularly in respect of Jerusalem, do you know it is the whole of Judaism in unbelief? That's what Jerusalem is, dear friends. These Hebrew Christians were delivered from that. It's Judaism in unbelief. And the Jews today are still waiting for Jesus to come. Unbelief. A deacon friend in one of our chapels is an infirmed man now. He's aged, very aged. But he suffers with one or two things, and he has to make his regular little trips to the local chemist. And sometimes in that chemist there's a relief pharmacist on duty. And he's a Jew. And my deacon friend talked with him, he's let him know who he is and what he believes in and so forth, and I think they've talked together. But this Jew is still waiting for the Lord to come. That is what my deacon friend has learned. Still waiting for Jesus to come. But my deacon friend spoke to him very solemnly. He didn't call him a Jew, but he said, "You know your people, when Jesus does come again, he'll come the second time. And when he comes the second time, do you know what you will learn? You will learn this, that you crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, and there will be no room for repentance." Isn't that true? Without the camp, what a mercy it is, dear friends, that the Lord has taught us and shown to us the blessedness of his cross. And in his incarnation he came in our nature that he might put away all our sins and iniquities at Calvary's tree. And when he comes the second time, he will take us to himself. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Let us go therefore unto him, serve him, worship him, seek his face, walk with him, follow him, delight in him, glory in him, embrace him, love him, own him, praise him, bless him, lift him up, exalt him. Let us go forth. The wonderment of the things that he has done for us. We serve him in but a poor way. I have to admit that. I do. Oh, that I could praise him more. Oh, that I could honor him more. Oh, that I could raise him up more and exalt him more. Give more glory to him. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Without the world, dear friends. Without Jerusalem. To follow him. And to serve him. And to glory in none other, but to know this truth, to be crucified to the world and the world crucified to us. To please him, we need grace. We need his gracious spirit to come upon us, that we might serve him aright. Let us go forth therefore unto him. And dear friends, is it a word this evening hour for any poor, ruined, guilty sinner? Let us therefore go forth unto him. Is the one here bowed down with sin and guilt, defilement, feeling all their ruin? Is this a word? Let us go forth therefore unto him. This man receiveth sinners eateth with them. Let us go forth therefore unto him. Dear friends, the devil will be a hindrance. As soon as thy poor heart is turned to the Lord, then the Satan will be after thee. He will be at thy right hand to resist thee. Oh, he will. But Jesus has come to take off thy filthy rags and to clothe thee anew in garments white as snow. That's what Jesus came to do. His finished work. To sanctify the people. And dear friends, yes, I know this, that he receives sinners. And you know, dear friends, when the Lord stopped me and showed me my sins, the sins of my life came up into my poor soul. But Jesus Christ came to save us from all our sins, sins past, sins present, and sins to come. And there is no poor sin-sick soul too far gone, dear friends. Not at all. The 500 pence debtor, the woman of Samaria, Saul of Tarsus, the evil Manasseh. Mercy came to them, dear friends, mercy. Plead that mercy. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Do not be offended in him, dear friends, for what he came to do for us. No. There was a joy that was set before him, dear friends. What was it? It's in that 12th chapter. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. It was an ignominious death. But it was for thy soul and my soul. Despise the shame. And there was a joy that was set before him. Not only that he should enter again into the glory that he had with his heavenly Father, but this truth, dear friends, that the church would be his to give unto his heavenly Father, the joy, the redemption of a poor soul. Every one of them whom his heavenly Father gave to him. Let us suffer reproach for his name's sake. These Christian Hebrews, they had to bear and suffer reproach. Dear friends, it doesn't matter what man might think of us. It doesn't matter what our school friends might think of us. It doesn't matter, dear friends. No. Unless grace comes to their hearts, the solemn truth is they will be lost. And they've got nothing to say about Jesus. Nothing to say what he has done for their souls. Why, this is one of the most blessed mercies that can come to a sinner. That they can speak what Jesus has done for their souls. Suffer reproach? Do we mind? No, dear friends. The world is going headlong to hell. The church are going to heaven to be with Jesus where he is. I just thought of that. I just thought of the occasion of Moses. And see the blessing there in that 11th chapter. I think it's verse 16. No, a little later than that, I believe. Moses, dear friends, would have been blessed, naturally speaking, with all the riches of Egypt. It would, in that time, it would have been one of the richest men upon the earth, in that known world. But Christ came into his soul. And dear friends, this is the mercy. By faith, when Moses was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was rich in soul, dear friends. Do you know what he had in possession? Heaven and glory through Jesus. And if we just notice, dear friends, this truth, Moses was the blessed one. He had all that heart could ever wish. He had Christ in possession. Christ was his all and everything. Christ was in his faith, his love, his devotions, his prayers. Christ. And then the promise of eternal life. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. There's nothing in this world, dear friends, for the soul of a poor sinner. See where the hearts of the world are tonight. Vanity, lust, the flesh. And it will avail nothing, dear friends. It will please and satisfy just for a moment. All these things, dear friends, very shortly will all be burned up and come to nothing. The pleasures of sin for a season. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Dear friends, whatever the burden of thy sin is, whatever thy cause, whatever thou hast done, go unto him. He will not say nay, dear friends, to that poor begging sinner, because it is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that has put a cry into the soul. Yes, to cry after Christ, to cry for his mercy. For here have we no continuing city. There's nothing abiding here, dear friends, nothing lasting. Everything we see is temporal. One day, dear friends, all will come to naught. And let us consider our own days upon the earth. Are there but few and handbreadth? So the psalmist David says. There are few upon the earth. And where are we, dear friends? Are we living to this world? One day it will be not. One day we will be not. No, there's nothing, dear friends, here below for the soul of a poor sinner. No continuing city, nothing lasting, nothing abiding. But this is the mercy. They seek one to come. Oh, dear friends, this is the blessing, isn't it? Heaven and glory with Christ, a city to come. Abraham, his poor heart and mind was fixed upon it, wasn't he? He sought a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Dear friends, his poor mind was brought to settle upon his eternal rest. And that is a mercy if the Lord will at times bring us to settle upon our eternal rest. You see, dear friends, there's an end to salvation, and it's a glorious end. How, what a contrast it is, dear friends, to that deserving hell for all sin and wickedness. Everlasting torment. Here, there's everlasting peace, everlasting joy, everlasting happiness. Oh, and dear friends, where will it all be found? In that dear and blessed person whom we will see as he is, and who suffered for us. Oh, may the Lord incline our poor hearts to that city which is to come. May the Lord continue to give to us, dear friends, those tokens and those confirmations in the way that we are journeying. Now, dear friend, David in prayer, in the vestry, pressing toward the mark of the prize for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was pressing, dear friends. He was struggling as well, struggling, but pressing for that prize, a crown of righteousness that was promised him and for all them that love God. Here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Everlasting joy and peace and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know how things shall be, but what Christ has done, he has done for his people, and he will bring them to where he is. It was the desire of Peter that the Lord had informed his disciples that he was going to leave them for a little while. Why cannot I come with thee? You see, thou canst not come with me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter. He hath for us entered. And dear friends, we shall follow him, being one of his dear children, sheep in his pasture. Well, may these thoughts come to rest in our poor souls. Amen.
Connections last Lord's Day amounted to £625, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Stephen Hyde next Lord's Day, who also hopes to take the Sunday School prize giving. Let us close with hymn 760. All sufficient is our Jesus, though our sins are black as hell. From pollution he can raise us, or from nature's deepest cell. He on Calvary cancels all his people's sin. 760.
Those things attended to this day in thy name. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us in each and every untrodden step of the way. Conduct us each in thy love and fear, and help us each to bear reproach for thy name's sake. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the blessed and joyous communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.